I built an app and shared it around. I learned some node, figured it out. It was great while it lasted, and I was proud till some hackers brought it down. Well, I've been afraid of changing, 'cause I've built my app on these tools. But time makes them older, easier to take over, and I'm looking for new tools. Tools stays here for you. Welcome to Tools Day,
Is it
a
sad that I
podcast.
didn't know that song until the last half? I was like, oh,
Landslide!
listen, I have a
Landslide!
terrible music repertoire in my head. Sorry,
Well,
go
I did my
ahead.
best. Welcome to our little podcast called Tools Day, a podcast about tech tools, tips, and tricks on Tuesdays at 2. I'm your co-host, Yuna.
And I'm Chris.
And today we're talking about speaking
Speaking
at
at
conferences.
conferences.
Not exactly a tech tool, but I get a lot of questions about this, so I thought it'd be good to just record a little episode about community and conference speaking and all that stuff.
Yeah, so if you've never spoken at a conference like many of us, like me, for example, we're basically just going to have a Q&A session where I ask Yuna all my burning questions about speaking conferences, the prep, how you get invited, all those things, and then show it off to you guys. So let's get it
Yeah, I'm
going.
ready. Let's do
All
this
right,
thing.
let's do it. Okay, first question. How do you even get accepted as a speaker? Is there like a what's the process? Like do you prepare a slide deck and show it off to people, or what is the very first step in getting invited to speak or submitting a talk or any of these kind of things?
So there's a long answer and a short answer. Which one do you want to hear first?
I want the 2-minute answer.
The 2-minute answer is basically you write a CFP when a conference has a call for proposal out. It's called CFP for short. And then they review all the CFPs and they pick the talks they think are going to be the most interesting. I could probably fit the long answer and I'll try. Whatever. If
Yeah,
it's long in
let's
two
do that
minutes,
one.
you'll deal with it. This is our
I'll deal
podcast.
with
I could do what we want.
it.
The long answer is that really starts a while before the CFP process. So this really starts with you having an interest in technology, which I'm assuming you do if you're listening to this podcast, and then kind of experimenting with it or doing research or kind of going beyond that, and then sharing your research in some way. So the advice that I like to give is basically start with doing this research and experimenting, and then blog about it. So you're like writing it down somewhere, make sure you're sharing it. From there, you can like go to local meetups, getting involved in your local community. If you don't have a local community, you can always start one. There's also online communities. And then slowly work your way up from there to doing lightning talks at bigger conferences and then maybe submitting a CFP and starting speaking that way. So yeah, once you've started submitting CFPs, some will get rejected, some will get accepted. It's the way of life. But then once you're accepted, you're speaking. So that's exciting.
Yeah, so let's talk about the content you put into your talks. And so, you blog a lot, and how do you differentiate your conference talks from your blog posts? Is there a different type of content you talk about in your talks themselves versus a blog post?
It depends on what the topic is. So, as an example, the last talk that I gave was taking some of the ideas that I wrote down through blog posts and kind of pushing that a little bit further. I wrote this whole series of blog posts about creating these interesting visualizations with images and like filters and CSS. And then the talk that I gave was practical application of those like artistic effects. I found like UIs that implemented these filters and blend modes, and then I explained how they work and went into a lot more depth about that through this medium of like practical UIs. So they definitely feed into each other. I definitely got the basis and experimented with it through my blog, and then when I gave these talks, I sort of did like, here's my experimentation, and then here's a little bit more that I learned that I'm going to share with you so you can also do this.
Cool. Okay. So speaking, that was your last one. What was your first conference talk, and how did you actually get prompted to do it? Like, what inspired you to give it, actually give a talk? For me, like, giving a talk is terrifying. So, How did you get over that first hump?
My very, very first talk that like had nothing to do with any of the other talks I did was at, oddly enough, a Ruby on Rails conference in
Wow.
Baltimore that had like maybe 35 or 50 people in the room.
Wait, how old were you?
I was like 20.
Okay.
I was still in college, and I gave a talk about designing on a global perspective, so taking into account cultures and languages when it comes to UI design. And it was by far like the only talk about design at this conference. I was the only girl speaking, and I was terrified. Like, I remember going to the women's bathroom, which was empty, of course,
Of
with my
course.
like little with my note cards, like flipping through them, like making sure that I didn't mess up during my talk. And of course you do, because that's just life. But it went over well, and then I didn't do any more talks for a while. But then my next talk after that, which is like my first talk in this so-called community that I started really becoming a part of, was at SaskConf in 2014. And that was about building communities because I had started the Sask community in DC and then I started the one in Austin. And that was kind of like my first talk on a bigger scale. It was a lightning talk, and it was still at this really small community conference that was maybe like 150 people. But it was the first time that I was on a stage in front of the people that I looked up to as like peers in my field. And I was really excited about that talk. Probably super nervous again.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just,
So,
you just kind of talk about what you know, really.
yeah. How did you get over the nerves? I'm sure there are a ton of people terrified of public speaking, me being one of
You
them.
don't.
Okay,
Like
great.
you,
That's
that's
reassuring.
advice I give. You just don't get over the nerves, and it's totally normal and it's totally fine. Some of the best public speakers that I know, like I am talking about people that I've watched videos of for years, like Jake Archibald. He's an amazing public speaker. Always gets super nervous for his talks. I remember like seeing Sarah Swaydon before she spoke, and I was just like super surprised about how she was like pacing kind of behind the scenes, like out of nervousness. Sorry if I'm outing anyone. I don't think this is anything anybody hides. It's just that everybody gets nervous and it's totally okay. And then you get up there, and 5 minutes into the talk, you are like zen. You know, you're calm. You're like doing your
Yeah.
thing. But yeah, nerves, I think, are something to embrace. Like it's good. It's exciting. You should be nervous, but in a good way.
And how do you handle it when something goes terribly wrong? Well, first off, has anything ever gone terribly wrong for you in a conference talk? If so, what was it? And then B, what's the appropriate reaction to things going wrong?
Yeah, so the only time I had like a really bad technical fail was at Smashing Conf in San Francisco this year, in April of this year, 2016. And I tested the slides right before, but the screen was just so much different than what I expected. And then when I unplugged the monitor for some reason, like it didn't take the resolution again. Basically, my slides were like half on the screen and half off the screen.
Oof, woof.
So the whole time I was like trying to zoom around, like it was just a mess because you're trying to make the audience see what's on your screen, but you can't even see what they see, and then trying to like teach them this content at the same time. So that was a little bit stressful, but I think the best way to prepare for that is to really know your content and know it so well that you can explain it without your slides. Like, I think you need your slides for yourself to see what's coming next, but if the audience can't see them, are you able to describe it in a way that they can understand? If somebody is listening to your talk and not watching it, like, are they able to understand what's happening?
I think I saw some tweets from this year's CSS DevConf where I forget who it was. I think it's Sarah Sudan actually, who's the power went out and she just talked her talk without the slides, which is so impressive to me because I can't remember
That's
things,
awesome.
for like from flashcards. So
Yeah.
that's amazing. Kind of off that is, have you ever done a Q&A session after a talk? And do you is that weird? Is that how do you approach that?
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. The first few talks that I did never had Q&A, but the past like three or four conferences I've done have had Q&A after the talk. Like Smashing always has it. When I was at Front End Conf, they had it. I love and hate Q&A. I
Okay,
like
okay.
Q&A like after the talk when somebody comes up to me with like, here's my code and here's the problem I'm having. So you could really like sit down with them and like talk through it. But Q&A on stage can get kind of weird. Lately, I've started to know the questions that people are going to ask me. They often ask about performance when I'm speaking about like blend modes. So like I know the answer because I've done that research. But yeah, I think the best way to deal with it is just sort of anticipate the questions that'll come. Maybe have like your coworkers listen to your talk first and do a Q&A with them afterwards. Those are likely going to be some of the questions that people in the audience will be asking.
It's like having opponent research for a debate. So you just kind of research the anti-argument for your
Right.
own
You did political
thing.
science in
Yeah, I'm
college.
poli sci. Yep. Good
You know all
time to do
about
that. These debates have been amazing.
it.
But so bring this all back to tools. Are there any like tools you use to generate your conference talks, like any like slideshow or deck builders or anything like that, presentation tools, more or
Yeah,
less?
there's a variety of things you can use, and no one thing is better. A lot of people use PowerPoint. I don't like PowerPoint. I just don't like GUIs. Honestly, I'm just like an asshole about it. I should be better about it. Oh, can you bleep that out? I don't know
No, we're staying in. Everyone will know
if we can
forever
out.
that you are the meanest person in the world.
I'm kind of an a-hole about that. How's that? But the only reason is because I find it easier to sort of write my content as I go, and just doing it in like HTML is faster for me. So I use Reveal.js, which is a slide framework that is super easy to get started with because it kind of like has a template for you. And it's super robust as well. There's a lot of different things you can do with it. There's a lot of plugins that you can use. I recently created my own little plugin. Here's a little shout out to that.
Shout outs.
It's called the Can I Use component. It's open on GitHub. You can download it. But basically, what it does is it uses the Can I Use API to pull in live data into your presentation. So you don't have to take a screenshot every time you're giving the presentation to see what changed in the like Can I Use browser world. So you can like build on top of that. It's all in the browser. So again, anything that you can do in an HTML file, you can do in this, and you can apply different JavaScript files, etc. There's also slides.com, which is the same as Reveal.js, but it's a GUI for it. So if you're not super comfortable with coding your presentation, but still want it to be web-based, look into slides.com. And then if you're doing any code inside of your presentation, like live coding at all, which I have done a bit of that in some of my talks, CodeMirror is an awesome tool that I personally haven't used yet, but like a lot of people swear by it. It's a lot. There's a lot of like plugins to that as well. There's like a community around that where you can do different themes and such. And that's how you can do JavaScript editing, like SAS editing, etc. Using CodeMirror. And the link to that is codemirror.net. Personally, all the live coding I've done is CSS based. So I just have literally a style block in my slide, and it's just style content editable as an attribute on it and display block instead of hiding that thing. So that style block is then just directly translated onto the page itself, and it's just a native way to do live coding.
Oh, and that works because you're using Reveal.js, right? So, which just uses HTML for the slides, right?
Yeah,
Is that okay? Okay.
yeah, so that's exactly it. It's just like a bit of HTML, and it only works with CSS if you have like a style, you know, like it's injecting style tag and all the content in it into your page. You could probably do it with JavaScript as well. Now that I think about it, it's just we'll be injecting a script tag onto your page. So that's the native way to do it, but you don't get any of the niceties of like visual styling, like you would with like a highlighter, and CodeMirror has that highlighter.
Nice. Any other crazy tools you use?
I have some resources that aren't exactly
Ooh.
tools.
Okay. I'm excited. So I actually have never given a talk. Well, I give a lot of small talks here at IBM, and so
And that's a great start.
I took over a Fed Date from Una. Una started this program at IBM called Fed Date, where we gave kind of these knowledge share presentations, I guess. And so we invite a member from our Fed community inside of IBM to come and give us some sort of small presentation. It used to be like an hour-long thing, but I cut down about a half an hour since you've been gone.
Well, I'm so glad
But
it's still
since
going.
it's still going, and we've actually grown it a bit, so which is kind of nice.
Nice.
But yeah, I'm curious. So when you give your talks, so I have found it's sometimes hard to talk about like deeply technical things in a short time frame, right? And so when you give your talks about like CSS blend modes, which is kind of, you know, a confusing concept sometimes, are there any like tips and tricks you do to kind of smooth over some of this more complicated things?
So first of all, I think that's a really good question, because a lot of conference speakers, especially first-time speakers, like need to understand the difference between like a talk that is really academic and one that people can absorb. There's like a happy medium there. People go to conferences to get inspired and to learn about things that exist, or maybe like an overview of how to use it. But then they really learn that thing, that technology, when they go home and practice it themselves. Like, you're not going to go to a conference and learn how to use Ember in all of its entirety. You're going to go to a conference and learn that there's an Ember CLI and you think it's really cool, and you're going to go home and then figure out how to use it. So just keeping that in mind, like keeping that audience in mind. But then also visualizations, I think, are really helpful for a lot of technical concepts. So like creating visualizations about like how your server works, or how databases are connected, or how like MySQL is different than NoSQL. Like, these are things that are complicated subjects that can really be helped with visualizations as you speak about them.
How complicated do you do? Like, how do you make your own visualizations? And you're kind of an artist, right? So you have that ability. What about just like general diagrams? Those work fine as well. I feel like I've seen some crazy visualizations before. I'm like, wow, I understood nothing would happen right there.
That's why, like, yeah, keeping it simple, using new slides for new concepts, like building on top of your original visualization. Like, don't just show this huge chart immediately of like all these things and like talk through it. Show like the top half of the chart and then the next half of the chart as you get to that area in the like discussion, then the next part of it, like slowly revealing things. I could see helping with like people psychologically understanding large concepts that are complicated.
Okay. Do you have any examples of things you've done? We can link in the show notes later on. Or what's your favorite one that you've done?
In terms of visualizations?
Yeah, so, sorry, put you on the spot right now.
So, okay, here's a good example. I'm not going to be like, oh, this is a good example because I did it, but you asked me what my favorite personal one was. There are much better ones out there. Like, I've seen Rachel Neighbors give this talk about animations, and she, like, creates this timeline that she scrubs back and forth, and it's all, like, really cool and, like, live on the screen as she does it. Leah Veru is also so amazing at speaking, and she does these, like, live-coded presentations. I'm just, like, mouth open, like amazed at how fluidly she does live coding on stage. People really love live coding, but it can get hard. Anyway, my favorite visualization.
Whenever I've done live coding, it's always gone wrong. I've stopped live coding at small.
Like, Another tip you can do is instead of live code. So Zach Coleman taught me this like one time. He said that instead of actually live coding, just record a pre-recorded video of you doing those things. And you could even show that and pretend that you're coding if you want to, but it makes sure that you don't mess up. Another thing you can do is comment out your code. So instead of typing it, you're just uncommenting bits of it.
Smart.
But in terms of visualization, I was describing like how filter effect, like FE color matrix works. And it's like this crazy looking 4x5 column, just like matrix in like space separated list, basically in SVG. And I want to show how to make a duotone image work by applying different transformations on this matrix. So I started out with like a diagram of what all the channels are, like how those work. I showed an example how those transformations worked. Then I hand drew all this because I didn't like have time to open. I had time, but I thought it was like a nice thing. Like instead of opening Illustrator and making it super exact, whatever. I just hand drew it, like scanned that, like applied color on that. And I felt like going through all these things step by step allowed for an easier understanding than just showing like, here's a diagram of FE color matrix and like talk over it.
Nice.
Yeah. Those are a lot of words. I'm sorry.
Those are too many words. No, it's great.
I'm trying to describe.
No, that was great. But speaking of a lot of words, have you found like a good amount of length of time for a talk for you? Like, is like half an hour, 45 minutes, an hour? what works usually, the best for the talk conference you've
given? Will That's tell true. You how long you have.
Do you have a preferred length?
My favorite is 25 minutes to a half hour because I think people's attention spans are short. One conference was the Doc Conference series. They do TED Talk style, so 15 minutes is what you have. And it really forces you to like only talk about your key points. I think that was really awesome. So I like shorter talks.
Okay, I'm into it. I've been kind of pushing shorter talks into our FedDate program as well. We recently did a series of lightning talks where I had four people give 15-minute talks, which was kind of great. And so, yeah, I've found that 15-minute talks have been pretty easy to get people to absorb them and grok what's being told. Whenever I see talks that are on, you know, 50 minutes to 60 minutes, the audience in the room kind of blanks out. But this could just be a bunch of millennials being terrible at long, you know, long-form content. Any sort of,
no attention spans.
Yeah. But yeah, that was probably all my main questions. Do you have any hot tips and tricks for people who are just getting into it?
I do want to share my resources. Like, I totally forgot. I don't know. When you get me talking about, like, any topic, I just, like, go on and on and on. I'm so, so sorry. But the two resources I wanted to share was, one's a Twitter account, one's an email list. The Twitter account is called Callback Women. So this is specifically focused on, like, conferences will reach out if they want a more diverse speaker selection and they're having trouble. So Callback Women, which is just at Callback Women, will retweet or tweet out conference speaking opportunities. So if you're looking for an opportunity, check that out. They'll often retweet, like, open calls for proposals. And there's also Technically Speaking, which is an email list that is really helpful because they say conference name, where it's located, do they cover travel costs, and like those sorts of details. And you can sign up for the Technically Speaking email list at tinyletter.com/techspeak. And yeah, that's a really good resource if you're looking for conferences to speak at. You can see where you fit in on that array.
Nice. Yeah, that's all I got.
Ooh, I feel like I spoke so quickly.
You spoke so much, but it was wonderful.
Oh, I hope that helped. If you're trying to get into speaking, it's definitely something that's super valid and worth it and really brings you into this community that is like, oh, super rad. But you don't even need to speak at conferences to become a part of that community. I think just like attending them is really, really valuable. Contributing to projects on open source, blogging, sharing your thoughts is like the most important thing. Oftentimes people are like, how can I start speaking at conferences? And I'm like, show me your blog. And they're like, I don't have one. And I'm like, that's how. Like, start writing, getting your ideas out. Yeah, it's just been a crazy like 2 years now. Yeah, I can't believe it's been 2 years since I started speaking.
I honestly thought it was longer for you, but I'm surprised it's only been 2 years, honestly. I kind of have you as this paragon of conference speaking at this point, so I'm shocked it's only 2 years.
It's just, yeah, I don't know how it really all happened. I feel very lucky. I feel like at some point, I don't know. I don't know. You're right. I have started speaking at a lot of conferences, and it's kind of like blown my mind how quickly that happens since you started speaking.
Yeah. So basically, long story short, get involved, and then you too one day will be Una.
With yes, that's the tons key thing, of hard get work, involved.
Working 24/7 for 1 year straight, and then you'll be Una basically.
Yeah, that was last year. Yeah, but keep in mind, like, writing a conference doc is a lot of work. Like, it's not quick. You're probably going to be spending a lot of evenings working on your talk, practicing your talk. So just keep that in mind if you want to start speaking, that it is a lot of work in your free time that you have to put in. Unless you're, like, a dev advocate at a company, then it's a part of your job. But I've never been one of those.
Which I'm shocked sometimes that you're not. But I think you like your position better anyways, where you do UI work and then also also dev advocate work, more or less. But anyways, okay. We are, I think, running out of time for our 20 minutes of Tools Day. Any last shout-outs?
No, I want to say thanks.
No.
Thanks
for shout-outs, listening. Shout-outs to myself.
Well, no, sorry. I don't know what you mean by shout-outs. Shout-outs, I could, like, go on forever. Like, shout-out to, like, the CSS community, and shout-out to all these incredible, like, speakers that have inspired me like crazy, which I kind of mentioned some of them earlier. I don't know. I feel like it's shout-outs forever about speaking specifically, and I would shout out to mostly like the conferences that had me. Shout out to like CSS Conf AU for like inviting me to my first international conference. That was amazing. The SAS community for like being the supportive community that I needed to start like blogging and writing and being a part of something in tech. Shout out to open source projects for the ones that weren't
Hacktoberfest. That was awesome.
Yeah, Hacktoberfest is going on right now. It's an initiative by GitHub and DigitalOcean that will send you a free t-shirt for submitting 4 pull requests on any public project on GitHub. So yeah, I think open source is a really great way to start getting involved as well. Shout out to Chris Donaraj for asking me these questions. Thank you for interviewing me about
no
this.
No problem.
Shout out to everyone listening. Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Tools Day. And if you like the show, please go on iTunes or whatever podcast listener you listen on and leave us a review. Good reviews only, please. Just kidding. You can write whatever you want, but not really. totally joking. Do you have any shout outs, Chris?
Shout outs to you. Shout outs to Paul Irish and Adios Mani for actually inspiring me to do that stuff.
Oh, they're such good speakers.
Oh, my God. Just the most amazing.
We always talk about the Google like DevRel team.
But that's all I have for now. So yeah.
Awesome. We'll catch you next week. Bye, y'all.